Okay. We are in Chavis Havav Shara Kniya. Final. Shara Kniya. We defined Kniya. We divided it, the Chavis Havav is defined concept of Kniya, which we're translating in a general way as Anava. The Chavis Havav is divided that into three parts. Right? There's what we call lowliness, just a person really, really thinking he's nothing. Having no idea of what his koichas are, what is no appreciation of his achievements, no appreciation of his own greatness because of his neshama. That we said is it's a midah of it's not an admirable midah. True anava comes means understanding exactly who you are, appreciating your achievements, appreciating your own greatness, but yet humbling yourself by putting it into perspective. By having the right perspective on it, not allowing your own achievements, virtues, etc., to just fill up the whole picture. And namely, what that meant is, as we discussed, it means being submissive before Hashem, understanding you're standing in the great presence of Hashem, who is, whatever you might be, pale in comparison is not even the word, but besides the fact, with the humble understanding of that He gave you those abilities, and therefore, it's humiliating to even feel arrogant in front of him, knowing that he is, everything that's going on inside you is simply on the table as far as he goes. And then we began Paragimel. Paragimel, he began discussing that's the main Kenya we're talking about. He said there's also the middle level, which we didn't discuss now, is humbling yourself before people for various reasons, which can often be justified, but that's not the main kniyah we're talking about. The main kniyah is kniyah before Hashem. Now, in Paragimel, we began discussing what are the natural causes that would cause a person to, who's haughty, who's arrogant, to get off his high horse. What lowers a person? What humbles a person? So number one, we saw when a person ails, when a person gets sick, when a person suddenly becomes needy in the physical sense, that already causes him to lower his head. He can't be as arrogant as he used to be, especially when he needs people to help him out. And therefore, that's one means that Hashem sometimes uses of lowering a person whose head is too high. Number two, and this is what we're up to. The person is not physically afflicted, but something happens or he's stricken with poverty. And suddenly he becomes much more dependent on people. He needs people to help him out. When he used to never need people, he used to be on top of the world, he used to be in control. And suddenly now he became needy. He needs people to help him. Now he has to lower his head before people. He has to lower his head before people. And now the hot air balloon is popped. The hot air balloon is popped. And suddenly he lowers, his spirit is broken. We talk about a broken spirit, right? We said before that that means, doesn't mean being morose. It means that sometimes a person gets inflated like a hot air balloon. You pop it, the balloon simply goes back to what it really is, right? That's what we mean by a broken spirit. A person starts inflating, becomes all full of hot air, inflating, 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 and something comes along and gives a little prick. And all of a sudden, it goes back to being what he really is. Hashlishis, what's number three? When a person is receiving chesed from another person, person is the recipient of another person's goodness, kindness, he humbles himself before that person. You're not going to talk arrogantly to a person who's benefiting you. This is not the same point as the previous point. The previous point is that when a person becomes needy in general, so he becomes humble in general. Here we're talking a little bit more specific. This person is generally okay, but one person he depends on for something. So klapei that person, a person who is dependent on his chesed, a person who is receiving his chesed, he'll humble himself before that person. Specific dynamic. Harabiyus, what's number four? Mishen is chayiv lechaveiro davar. If Reuven owes Shimon something, he can't pay him back. So he's walking around with a constant sense of inadequacy, which also causes him to lower his head. So the Ikonala. So here also he'll humble himself before that person. Chamishis. Number five is Nishu b'masar oivai, certainly a prisoner. Okay. Ashishis. Number six is a servant. I'm moving through these quickly because we're really building up to the ones toward the end. Ashvitz. Number seven is Kishetimtseno es ha'adam tzoris upgoyim ma'atzim. If a person undergoes troubles, now why isn't this the same as the first one? The first one we said, if a person suddenly ails, he becomes weak, etc. So no, the first one is much more natural. A person becomes dependent on other people. He becomes stricken and ailing to the extent that he needs other people to help him out. He can't function by himself. Right, so certainly such a person is going to be humble. Right, a person who needs other people to wheel him in a chair is going to be humble. But here, we're saying something that's a bit more refined. This person is still capable of functioning. Still capable of functioning. Just what? He underwent certain tzaras. He underwent certain tzaras. Rachmana litzlan. What this does to a person is it just breaks his sense of I'm in control. It's a bit more subtle than the previous one. But also, a tzara can have that effect of it breaks his sense of I'm in control. He becomes more sensitive. He becomes more submissive. Ashminis. And what is number eight? And here's really what he's getting at. Kishe yachshoy v'nafshoy v'amroysoy elokim v'toyvos. And this is kind of bringing together a few of the things that we saw earlier. So that if I owe you something and I can't pay you back, the least I can do is act humble in your presence, right? We also saw that if I need you, if I'm dependent on you, I would lower my head. So a person becomes humbled by considering how much he's received from Hashem and how instead of enhancing his service of Hashem, he's acting rebelliously toward Hashem. And he's defying Hashem despite all the goodness that Hashem is giving him. And actually spiting Hashem, so to speak, instead of praising Hashem for it. So in other words, he's really talking about the ideal dynamic of tshuva. The ideal dynamic of tshuva. Not that a person is suddenly scared of punishment, right? Not that he's worried about Gehenna. Talking about simply a person feels like, look at everything Hashem is doing for me. How could I be doing these averus? That suddenly causes him to feel shame, causes him to lower his head. So that's number eight. The person suddenly has that insight, and this is really the pasuk that says, "Toiv ga'ara chas b'mevin na'akos k'sil me'ah." Techas ga'ara b'mevin na'akos k'sil me'ah. If a person toiv ma'udus achas b'liboy shel adam. If a person suddenly has that flash of clarity, suddenly has that insight that how could I be behaving this way toward Hashem with everything that he's doing for me? And he really senses that, really senses Hashem's toiva. So that is a very humbling feeling. And this really is the ultimate dynamic of tshuva. The kolam min alakim, he feels ashamed from Hashem. Kama shekasuv, like the pasuk says, Elokai boishti v'nimchamti. We say this in Slichas, right? I'm too ashamed to lift my face to you, Hashem. That is, and another one. Let's say I have a person who did not reach this insight on his own. Didn't have that flash of clarity on his own. But Hashem is starting to bring punishments on him. And he understands that. This is also a certain sense of attunedness. He understands that Hashem is doing this because of some areas that I should be doing better in, because of some areas that I'm sinning in. The punishments start coming. He lowers his head. Like it says about Achav. Did you notice how Achav has humbled himself before? So it's another dynamic of where a person will get off his high horse. Number 10 is Kishayalgish Bikirvas Hamaves Ubayoimwe. When a person starts seeing ahead of him, the end, where death is starting to become a reality, feels it coming. Yachshoy Veimas Hamaves. And he thinks about the dread of death. And he pictures the judgment. That also humbles a person. All of a sudden, he understands how fleeting his existence is, right? And he suddenly realizes now how he went through a whole life that was just wasted. The story that they tell, it's a mashal. They tell this mashal. Maybe one of the Magidim told it about a fellow who came to a town. He walked into the graveyard. He walked into the cemetery. He's looking at the gravestones. And it says, Moshe Yankelevich passed away at the age of 6 years old. Yehuda Glumpenstein passed away at the age of 8 and a half. He's going from one gravestone to another. Nobody made it above the age of 10 years. What's going on here? It's a town where everybody dies young. He sees there are older people in the town. And he said, you know, there's another strange thing. Pliny Almaini died at the age of 6, left behind grandchildren and great-grandchildren. What's happening here? He goes to find out. And they explained to him that the way they do it in their town is they say, how many years did this person really live? Meaning, how many years were the substance of his life? All the time that just kind of like was dead time, they don't count. So they add up the time that he actually spent in worthwhile activities. They put that all together, however they do that. Okay, it's a mashal, right? They put that all together. This person was 6 years, 7 and a half years. The guy died at the age of 85. 6 years, 7 and a half years, etc. If a person hops that while he's still alive, he'll do an awful lot about it. But that's certainly a humbling feeling. Okay, I'll stop here.